losing sight. Let's go to war. Let's go to war!
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick, and we have our Week 5 Dallas Cowboys preview. Once again, it used to be we play them Week 1 in Dallas, now we're starting to play them Week 5 in Dallas. No interview this week since it's a divisional rival. We'll have Danny King on later for quick picks, Giant Factors, and our fantasy draft. Justin, how are you feeling after the Giants' first win going and trying to make it two in a row, trying to get that second win?
Yeah. What gives you hope is that it's a divisional game and wacky things can happen and Giants are coming off a win, but Bobby, there's kind of two feelings right now. There's one feeling that says this Dallas team is just really, really good. They are a lot better than expected. Their offense is as expected, but it's their defense that has been, whoa, you know, they faced some pretty good opponents and they've limited them. You know, they've done a good job, you know, somewhat limiting, you know, even though they gave Tom Brady a bunch of opportunities, they stayed in that game. They faced some good opponents. They stayed in the game against the Super Bowl, you know, defending champions, and then they won, you know, their next three against some pretty good opponents there too. So they are a very good team. And then the other side of my brain says, I just want to score 30 points this game. I'm sick and tired of Daniel Jones having perfect games, good games, solid games, and us not scoring 30 points. Kind of like whatever happens in this game, I want the offense to score 30 points because we've been talking about how good Jones is coming along. He's progressing really nice. It still took him, you know, almost, you know, four quarters and a half, more than that, you know, for them to get 27 points. They got 29 points against Washington, and Daniel Jones looked really good. They haven't broke 30 points yet, and that's like what teams are supposed to do and good teams and good offense are supposed to do. I want to score 30 points. How are you?
I'm good. You know, no 30-point games under Jason Garrett. You know, the one time the Giants scored 30, it was off of a pick six from Kyler Fackrell versus Dallas. So, you know, and versus Dallas offense, and with the way their defense is, like, the expectation is going to this game to win as a shootout. Before that, before we talk about shootouts, couple other people who'd have our back in a shootout. We got Goldie's Burner, not his real name. Brendan Doyle, not O'Doyle, Brendan Doyle. And we got Andrew Finke, or just Fink. Justin, who are these Burner Doyle Finks?
Fink may be one of my favorite nicknames out of all the Patreon people that we can make.
That's
off
his
of
real
their
last
names.
Name.
Huh?
That's his real last name.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. But Fink, like, that could be like a really good nickname. I really do hope, Mr. Finkel, you're called Fink in your real life. They went to patreon.com/talkinggiants. $2 a month, plus some other tiers if you want to support extra. But just $2 a month, hang out with us live in the chats while we record, see the shows early, react with us when we win or lose. Two times a month, you get an opportunity to win some shirts off of our store. Bobby sends you some magnets. patreon.com/talkinggiants. Thank you to our patrons.
All right, Justin, let's talk about this Dallas Cowboys offense. And I tweeted out earlier, and I want to know if you agree. We're not going to spend too much time going on comparing Dallas's offense. But I truly believe that this Dallas offense is the toughest matchup for the Giants on the rest of the schedule. And that's a schedule that has the Chiefs, it has the Rams, it has the Bucks. And you can make, like, if you're telling me that those offenses are better than Dallas, I won't really argue with you. But as far as for the Giants matchup, I think this offense is like the worst possible matchup because all of those teams are types. Like Brady, like you can, you know, Brady's not as much, but it's like that offense is definitely beatable. We've seen Graham have success versus it. The Chiefs, like, they have turnovers. Like, you can win by getting turnovers versus the Chiefs. You know, the Rams, like, it's a lot of system stuff, you know, and we saw Patrick Graham have success versus it last year, obviously with Goff, but like it is a lot of system based stuff. The Cowboys are just doing whatever you give them. They're going to take. And Dak is completing over 75% of his passes so far this year. He's not turning over the ball. He has two interceptions, and one of those was, you know, was a drop pass by his wide receiver versus Tampa Bay. And on the run game, and they have two guys over averaging over 60 yards per game. They're averaging, you know, total on you know, they're averaging basically like 160 rushing yards per game. And they have a good wide receiver core. Their tight ends are putting up numbers. It's like this team is just kind of unstoppable on offense right now. And it's like, okay, you want us to dink and dunk, we'll dink and duck. If you want us to come play up aggressive, we'll do that. If you want to go light box, we'll run the ball on you. It's they're kind of just doing whatever they want right now at will. And they, you know, like Kellen Moore and them are killing teams right now.
Yeah. They're the fourth most explosive rushing team in the National Football League, which, you know, the Giants run defense. When running backs have gotten volume, you know, they've certainly struggled. I mean, Alvin Kamara had, you know, 170 yards, and that Saints rushing offense had 170 yards last week, where, you know, allowing a lot of rushing yards and allowing opposing running backs to be productive, it isn't a problem until it is a problem, right? Where it's like, oh, now it's kind of creeping up on the Giants a little bit, and certainly with this Dallas offense, it can be a problem if that's the route that they chose to go, that they choose to go to. But unlike, let's just compare the Giants' defense performance that they possibly can have this week against the Seattle game last year, where Russell Wilson was taking deep shots of 15-plus air yards 25% of the time. The Dallas passing offense, surprisingly, is ranked 18th in the National Football League in explosive plays. The Giants are actually ranked 14th. They're ranked higher as an explosive passing play offense. But what Dallas is doing and what Dak Prescott's doing is he is throwing the ball where the Giants have been killed all year, where the defense hasn't been terrible in terms of allowing explosive plays, but they're getting killed in the intermediate part of the field, and they're getting killed with yards after the catch. And that is where Dak Prescott has been living, breathing, and dying this year. He's been throwing the ball in the intermediate part of the field. His arm, and I was even talking with some Cowboy fans, you know, on a stream last night, his arm, it hasn't looked like it's had the same juice. But doesn't matter, you know, when you're completing 75% of your passes, kind of throwing by the sticks, a little bit past the sticks, and your wide receivers are so talented that they can get the yards after the catch, and there's some good playmakers there, you can do that, and that is your winning formula. So you're exactly right by saying the matchup with this Giants defense is bad in terms of Giants defense versus Cowboys offense, because the things that the Giants defense struggle with, the Cowboy offense does very well. Throwing in the intermediate part of the field, running the ball, getting some yards after the catch and having playmakers.
And Dak is actually his lowest yards per completion in his career right now. But again, he's completing over 75% of those passes, you know, and Dallas is fourth in offense with 31.5 points per game. And like you mentioned, like they're only 14th in passing yards, but you know, you have this matchup of Amari Cooper. Now CeeDee Lamb has been playing on the outside. I know, you know, before I did my prep for this, I was like, you know, we talked about, like, does Adore maybe follow CeeDee in the slot? With Michael Gallup out, CeeDee Lamb's playing on the outside.
And so then they have Cedric Wilson playing in the slot?
Yeah. So okay, we're going to see Adore Jackson versus CeeDee Lamb and James Bradbury versus Amari Cooper. You know, and both those guys are averaging, like, they're basically averaging the same amount, like 60-something yards per game between the two of them. But they are, I mean, they're second in the league in rushing yards right now. And, you know, yards per attempt. Zeke has 342 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's averaging 85 rushing yards per game. That's just good for a start. Like, that's really good if you're a starting running back, 85 yards per game on the ground.
Yeah, and I really do think that he's taken the whole everybody, I don't know what Cowboy fans are saying, but I know NFL Twitter has said, like, oh, Tony Pollard is better than Zeke Elliott. Zeke Elliott has been averaging his yards after contact per attempt. I'm pretty sure this is like the best year of his career in that regard. And, you know, there's some very few metrics out there that look at individual running back play versus offensive line production. But yards after contact per attempt, that is one of them. That's an individual running back stat. And he's been really, really good in that regard. And I think he's taken that to heart. I think he's heard the chatter of, oh, you know, Tony Pollard is better than you and you're getting paid a lot of money and you shouldn't. I think he's heard the chatter and he's producing, so.
Well, if I told you that Ezekiel Elliott is averaging 5.3 yards per carry and 85 yards per game and then 4 touchdowns in 4 games, you're like, man, they're working his ass. Like, he's balling right now. Yeah. Like, he's their workhorse running back. It's back to the way the Dallas Cowboys were always successful the past 10 years. And it's like, man, because they just kind of run on teams at will. Well, that's all true. And on top of that, Tony Pollard is averaging 62 yards per game. and yards per carry. He's averaging 6.8 yards per carry. So he has 200, like, so, like, even the backup running back is averaging 62 yards per game. Like, Saquon's best rushing game this year was, like, 50 yards. And the Cowboys' backup is averaging 62 yards per game while the starting running back is eating a ton with Zeke Elliott. So it's like they are just running at will. And the Giants, and, you know, we've been talking about, like, are they running too high light boxes? And it's kind of been eye test stuff. There was a, you know, a graphic that came out today that they are running the fifth most too high safety looks in the league right now, where last year they were a single high cover three type team. And they, like, it, you know, last year Patrick Graham, it was a staple of his defenses to have an extra man in the box, you know. So if it's seven people in there, it's like, okay, they have an 8-man box. If it's eight guys, they, you know, have nine guys, or you know, 6 versus 7, 7 versus 8. So, you know, like, every gap is filled. You know, this past week versus the Saints, it was exclusively light boxes. And, you know, and you saw the Saints rush for 170 yards per game. And it wasn't like the Saints were running the ball, like, very well coming into this game. You know, Alvin Kamara was averaging 3.4 yards per carry coming in. Like, him and Saquon's stats were pretty identical in the rushing game. And that was disappointing for Saquon. It was disappointing for Kamara. And they just ran all over us. Part of that has been bad tackling. But, like, they've been playing light boxes. So, I get the idea of, like, you know, maybe trying to, you know, I get the idea of, like, you know, let them run, see if they're patient with it. But at the same time, it's like watching a team run on you like that. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not a fan of it. Like, I want Patrick Graham to get back into those plus one boxes. And that doesn't, I don't think you're sacrificing the pass like that way. You know, like, they didn't, last year they did that all last year. Did they give up big plays? No, we talked about how much they didn't.
They were better last year at not allowing the big play. Versus this year, where you're playing with too high, they have, you know, it's not the worst Giants problem, but they were just flat out much better at it last year. Versus this year, they're doing something different. So,
well, because then you have the safeties having to come up and play the run, and that leads to play action. Safeties draws up big plays. Now the Giants have been saved on a couple of those by penalties and a drop by KJ Hamler in week one. But yeah, I understand the idea of, like, you know, trying to let, you know, letting them run to try and get them away from the pass, but, like, at some point, you've got to stop the run, especially versus a Dallas Cowboys team like this. And I think that's the way to beat Dak Prescott. And that's shown up in his career, is when, like, you can kind of stop that Dallas run game and maybe get a turnover of Dak. And that's the way I would attack this Cowboys offense. It's like, man, you got to try and get some turnovers, which means throwing different rotating zones. Just throwing different look after different look. Don't let Dak know what's coming. Throw different look after different look and I'm not saying we're going to hold them to 60 yards rushing and shut down the run, but I would not play those light boxes this game. Like, I would put an emphasis on stopping the run this game and throwing different zones at Dak and hoping we get some turnovers.
Well, for the first time since, did Jabril Peppers miss a game last year? I think he played 16 games.
So. No, he missed two games last year.
Missed two games last year.
Or one and a half.
You know, for the first time in, you know, quite a while, odds are I think we're going to be without Peppers, so... You know, does that too high kind of theory change? And I did see Julian Love in the box, some snaps and making some plays in the run game this season. But is that an answer? I don't know, because odds are Peppers is going to be out. He hasn't really practiced all week, so.
Yeah, well, he padded up this on Thursday, but I don't know if he's going to play. But even then, I'm not expecting much out of Peppers, regardless. Because even if he is playing, I don't think they're going to give him a full load. And he hasn't been getting a full load even when healthy. So,
yeah.
But this was the game where I was hoping they would put Jabril Peppers back in, like, that full-time money backer role and, you know, stop doing these too high safety things. And I think Graham probably will see that and make some adjustments. You know, he made an adjustment from week two to week three. You know, got out of that soft zone stuff and, you know, played more man coverage, especially on third downs. And it worked week three. And week four, it was... They got ran all over, and I know Patrick Graham is not okay with having that happen. Especially, you know, it's one thing when the Ravens do it. When the Saints do it, that shouldn't happen.
So in a way, we're asking Patrick Graham not to get too nerdy. In a way, I guess we're asking Patrick Graham to do exactly what he did in Miami in 2019. Cover one, like 30, you know, what he was doing in Miami was like cover one 39% of the time. You know, single high safety, man coverage down below. And then you know, with that single high, you can bring an extra guy down in the box. That's kind of like what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, and what he did last year, you know, like a mix of the two, like playing a little more man covers than cover three. And cover three can look like man a lot of times, but you know, playing more, you know, staying with the man coverage, but you know, throwing different types of rotating zones at them and trying to add that plus one box. Another thing about their offense, so we talk about the wide receivers, the run game, Dak. Dalton Schultz and Blake Jarwin, they together are averaging 80 to 88 yards per game. The two of them together have 29 catches, 353 yards, and four touchdowns in four games.
I think everybody's averaging over 60 yards on
this
offense.
It's insane. It is insane watching how balanced their offense is.
How many yards is Tyron Smith averaging?
Seriously. Like, and that's why I think it's the biggest worry, because a coordinator like Patrick Graham, the person the Giants have, I think they can game plan against a team that has like a very like specific, like, this is what their offense does. Like, you know, they go to Kelce or, you know, the Rams, it's like, it's that play action crosser. So put your linebackers in depth, ignore the backside flat, stuff like that. The Seahawks cover deep. Like he gets back to his checkdowns way too late. But this game, it's like, man, they kind of are just great at doing what you like, finding the weakness of your offense. So it's like, whether it's throwing to the tight ends, throwing to the wide receivers, running the ball all game. Like it is, I think this is easily like this is the offense I'm the most scared about. Now, it's not the team I'm most scared about, because their defense, which we'll talk about, is it's not good. It's better than last year, but it's not good. And there's like, I'm excited to see the offense versus defense. But yeah, I mean, this offense is they have to, if Joe Judge doesn't go into this game like with the expectation of playing in a shootout, like that's kind of depressing. Like I understand you want to play your brand of football, but they have to go into this game. Like, we need to score 30 points to win this game. So we need to go for it on fourth downs. We need to not kick field goals. Like, go into this mindset, like kind of the way he did to the Browns game last year.
I have two areas in which the Giants have to attack on Sunday. Tyler beat that ass. A guy that we liked out of Wisconsin, you know, liked a decent amount. He's been bad. I think he's the weak link of the offensive line. He might be the weak link of the offense right now. He's not been a great center. So whoever's lining up over the center, you know, again, I'm wink, wink, Dexter Lawrence looking at you, especially on some of those passing downs. Dude, get back there. You know, I don't know how often Leonard Williams is going to be over the center or guard, especially guard, because he's usually in three defense alignment formations. He's usually on the end. So whoever's in front of him on those passing downs, beat his ass. No pun intended. And then there's also another guy on defense who I have circled as well. So we'll talk about that next.
Do you have anything else on the offense? I mean,
no.
You know, everything's clicking for them right now.
Nope.
All right, let's talk about their defense. And I'm not going to try and get too number heavy on this, but I was looking at a bunch of stuff today. And they're actually 16th in points, giving up 24.2 points per game. But I think similar to the Giants, but worse than the Giants. It's like, well, everything else is bad. But they're a team that's been living off turnovers, and obviously Diggs has been a big part of that. But they have 10 turnovers. They have the most interceptions in the NFL right now with 8. Second is actually the Saints with 7. So, you know, Daniel Jones needs to avoid the turnovers this week. You know, that goes without being said. But they're 26 in yards. They're third worst in yards per play at 6.4. And again, they have lived off of the turnover. And I, you know, watching film, and they play a ton of man coverage. You know, I'm not even going to say it for my Giant factor, but Kadarius Toney needs to ball this game. Like, Kadarius Toney needs to be, I think, the focal point of this game plan, because they play a ton of man coverage. They take chances. They have linebackers who aren't always playing the best gap responsibility. We're going to play up on the play action a little too much. Micah Parsons kind of went back to that off-ball linebacker role. You know, he'll get some edge reps. Like, this has to be a game where Kadarius Toney is used heavily. They give up the worst yak in the league. They're giving up 190 yards per game with yak right now, Justin. When we talk about the Giants struggling with that, the Giants have 60 less yards per game of yak than the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they are really, really bad at yak right now.
Yeah. They were good at yak last week, and it was Toney and Galladay. You know, that was a big point of Wednesday. That was a big point of my stats report video. That Galladay and Toney, why Toney needs to be included in the game plan is because the last 2 weeks, Kadarius Toney has averaged 8 yards after the catch per reception. Now, obviously against Atlanta, he only had like two catches, so I don't know if he like qualifies in like a ranking if you were to make it, but this offense is just so bad with getting yards after the catch, where you need those skill position players to just play what I've been calling grown man football, where it looks a little different when Galladay does it versus Toney, but they find a way and they get it done. So get the ball in those guys' hands. Galladay's been getting better wide receiver separation. He's going up against Diggs. That's going to be a fun matchup. You know, Diggs and Galladay, Diggs is more of a physical corner. This is a game where I would like to see some contested catch situations. I know, Diggs is a little bit more physical, but Galladay is the best in the league at doing it. So this is a game where I'd like to kind of see it. You know, if there aren't things that are working, this is what, you know, gets a little frustrating about this Giants offense. When everything, the play script, play schedule isn't working, you know, what you can do sometimes, it's just as simple as letting your players go up and make a play. You know, we saw that a lot with Darius Slayton last year, you know, a little back shoulder fade on the sideline against Dallas and Dallas, where sometimes it's just as simple as just throw the ball to a player and let him make a play. You know, put it in a spot where a defender can't catch it, can't tip it, and then it goes for an interception. Let your guy go up and make a play. And this Micah Parsons not being at edge is kind of huge.
I think it's a huge advantage for the Giants. Now, maybe they put him back and they've changed him up a bunch, but like him, Nate Solder's weakness is protecting, like either opening up his hips too early, or if he's not, he gets killed inside. And Micah Parsons, like his outside to in like agility is kind of crazy. But at linebacker, it gets him in trouble because he loses his gap responsibility. Now, you can lose your gap responsibility at edge, but you make a ton of plays that way too, especially against a guy like Nate Solder. Like, I was very – and again, maybe they do put him back there. But at linebacker, it loses gap responsibility. That and the Cowboys stunt a ton, and they're, like, long developing stunts as well. This could be a big game for Saquon, you know, and not by averaging, you know, getting those 4 or 5 yard pops. Like, Saquon could break a couple big ones this game because they lose that gap responsibility, you know, like – The 40-something yard run versus Washington. A big reason for that play was the Washington stunted on that play. So they lost their gap responsibility. Guys weren't playing their gaps. Caden Smith adjusts. And now you've popped the big play because guys aren't where they're supposed to be defensively if they were expecting to play against the run. So this could be a big game for Saquon in the run game. And, you know, it's such a hard balance with Saquon because, like, you don't want him to not be Saquon. But this is a game where it's like, hey, like, kind of. Like, see what happens. Let, you know, follow your blocks, and then let those plays turn into big plays. You know, don't try and bounce every little thing or stop in the backfield. Like just know, like, hey, that stuff's gonna open up for you. But take those yards that are in front of you when they're there. And that, you know, they're not as undisciplined as last year. But Parsons is an undisciplined player right now as a rookie. Like, he's a very undisciplined player now because that he makes plays that way. You know. But like it also can make plays for an opposing offense. So running and then on RPOs, I mean, they bite on play action pretty hard. That means you got Tony for those slants. And again, just man coverage. They're going to play a bunch of man coverage. They're going to get after you. So run clear out routes, you know, deep concepts, but not all or nothing plays. You know, maybe the shot plays of, you know, under center play action don't work as well, but you got guys clearing out. And you got, you know, Shep on a crosser and Tony on a dig or vice versa. Like, there's this defense, we can score a lot. Like, if we score over 30 points, which the Giants have not done under Jason Garrett, I'm not going to be surprised this week. Like, I'm almost expecting it. Like, build on what you guys are doing, you know. And I don't mean to pat myself on the back too much, but the things we've been begging Jason Garrett to do, he did last week with the three-level flood concepts. You know, those downfield plays, and it looked really, and it was the best game for Daniel Jones under Jason Garrett. So it's like, man, I don't know how you can see that and not stick to those type of things.
Yeah. Well, so the same thing after Washington, right? I don't know how you, I don't know how you could watch what you did there, and.
But I didn't love the Washington game plan. I thought it was just guys executing really well. It was Daniel Jones audibling out of all curls for a touchdown to like. You know, they ran a nice Mills concept. That's like so there was stuff I liked from the Washington, but I didn't leave the Washington game playing. Like, I really love what Garrett did. I did really like what he did versus New Orleans, though.
Osa Digizua, you know, last name that's familiar to Giants fans.
UCLA.
Defensive tackle from UCLA. Both the Digizua brothers went to UCLA. This one is a lot better than his brother, unfortunately for us.
Really good at the Senior Bowl.
Keep an eye on him at the interior part of the offensive line, especially if he's going to be lining up on the left side, you know, next to Scorer and Price. You know, he's had a good start to his rookie season. I think Chauncey Golston might also take some defensive end reps. Keanu Neal is a converted safety to linebacker. So it all depends on how maybe they want to use Neal. Do they want to use Neal as like an every down linebacker? Then that maybe means that maybe Parsons gets a little bit more edge, you know, reps at edge. I hope that they don't want to use him that way. I hope they only bring in Keanu Neal on passing downs, and maybe they take Parsons off the field. They have a really good safety too. Curse is another Dan Quinn guy that came from where he was, Atlanta, and then, you know, now he's here with Dallas. And, you know, before the season, I couldn't name you a single safety that was on the Cowboys, but Curse has been having a pretty solid season so far. So, you know, they got dudes, they got players, you know, but like you said, they're undisciplined, and, you know, Daniel Jones has been balling. You know, if Daniel Jones was not in the spot and having the year that he's having right now, I would say that there is zero hope to this game, and I would not feel any kind of optimism or, frankly, excitement to sit down and watch. And I'm always excited when the Giants play, but optimism to watch and believe that we are going to win. But if you have a quarterback that's throwing the ball well and not turning over the ball and, you know, producing explosive plays when he can, you feel like you have a shot in the game, and that's what we got. So, go. My one guy that I want to attack, Anthony Brown, cornerback 2. Their secondary is still in. Diggs has been good, but their secondary outside of Diggs, I know I just said Curse has been flying around the field too, but still their overall secondary is still meh, and Anthony Brown is a guy to attack. So whether Shep's on the outside, Tony, Slayton, attack Anthony Brown, attack Anthony Brown. Dallas fans are worried about if Diggs is going to follow Galladay. If Diggs is not following Galladay, then if Galladay is on it, Anthony Brown, attack him. There you go.
What do you think Slayton's role is this week? Let's just assume that him and Shep are both healthy and playing.
Definitely downgraded. I would want to see snap share of Galladay, Shepard, Tony, Slayton, Ross. That's my hierarchy right now.
Yeah, and I think Slayton and Ross should kind of be at equal amounts of reps.
Yeah,
right now, because of the guys ahead of them. You know, if you got rid of Kadarius Tony, it'd be like, okay, I want Darius Slayton starting and then giving Ross, you know, a handful of reps.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But I think Kadarius Tony needs to play. Kadarius Tony needs to play, and that's why, you know, so I like Slayton. But me saying, like, I don't know what his role is going forward, doesn't have anything to do with John Ross, really. It has to do with Kadarius Toney, because Kadarius Toney needs to play. He can change a game for the Giants. Like, this can be a game that he can eat. Just another stat I wanted to throw out there. They're actually 6th best rushing yards right now, but they're 6th worst in yards per carry at 4.7. So it's part of that probably is that teams, their offense is scoring points, so teams are, you know, trying to keep up with them. You can get a lead early in this game.
Oh, yeah.
This could be, you know.
Like, when have the Giants ever done that?
You joke, but I think they might have had the lead early in every single game this year. Broncos, well, like had the lead early.
A 3-0? I don't count 3-0 or 7-0 as like a good lead.
But they have. I think they've had the lead early in every single game this year. Like they, you know, they were up 7-3.
I'm talking
Denver.
Like in the third quarter.
I know. But it is kind of funny. Like 7-3 on Denver. Atlanta, it was 6-0. Washington, they had the lead almost the whole game.
When the Giants are winning 21-7 in a game in the third quarter, that's when my jaw will be on the floor. So
Yeah. Well, we were up 14-0 on the Cowboys last year and lost, so hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully, you know, Andrew Thomas doesn't give up a strip sack for a touchdown.
Oh, are we concerned about
I'm ignoring it.
Business?
I'm ignoring it. He's playing. He's practicing. He'll be all right. I'm ignoring
it.
Okay. Unless he misses a game, I won't. I'm just ignoring it. I'm not gonna analyze his limp. You know what I mean?
I agree. What is there to say?
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break, and we'll bring on Danny King.
Come on. Pay attention in there. Let's go. We got a beautiful day. Work. Play fast. Play fast. Whoa.
All right, welcome back to the show, and we got to talk about Roman. Look, no one's perfect. Even one of our Patreon members before the show, undisclosed Patreon member, said that he needed Roman to get his wiener popping. Even the best baseball players in the world strike up with the bases loaded. Even Phil Nevin, guys like Phil Nevin, he's a boss of a human being, has a really deep voice. Even he sometimes sends Aaron Judge home.
Idiot.
Incorrectly, and Bobby Skinner calls him an idiot. Even he makes incorrect decisions as a third base coach. No one's perfect, so if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/JohnBoy right now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and the privacy of your home, a U.S. licensed medical professional. We'll work with you for the best treatment plan if medication is appropriate. It ships to you free with two-day shipping, and that's really fast. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Go to GetRoman.com/JohnBoy and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today and connect with the doctor and take care of it. So, GetRoman.com/JohnBoy. Get $15 off your first month. Straightforward way. Take care of your ED. Don't be like Phil Nevin. Go to GetRoman.com/JohnBoy. Get started now and save $15 off your first month of treatment. Thank you to Roman. Get your man, Bobby Skinner says.
One more ad. Follow me on my personal Instagram at Bobby Skinner _. I'm 45 followers away from 1,000. So another ad.
How did you creep up on me? You've been plugging your personal Instagram.
I have been. I used to be very like no one gets to see my Instagram, and now I'm a full out Instagram.
What was that switch? You were like, I made my Instagram private because I don't want anybody seeing my Instagram. Blah, blah, blah. And then like 2 months later, it's like, oh, boo, follow me on Bobby Skinner here in the.
I'm an Instagram thought now.
Unbelievable. It's what happens when you get big in the media.
You're a thought. I know. Right? I'm like, you know, check out my. I even like did like check out my Instagram to see who I voted for, and everyone went to go look, and it's like voted for myself, idiots. All right, we now welcome on Danny King for weather and trivia, but also an injury update. Danny, we're worried about, you know, Slayton, Shep, and Peppers. What happened with your ankle?
So, you know, just living life, having fun. And I got into like a massive street brawl with these guys. They came at me. They're like, yo, Giants stand no chance this Sunday against Dallas. I'm like, how could you say that to me? And then we started brawling with each other. And I lost track of the road and the grass line. So I took a step back and then my ankle went like, bleh. It ended on the ground. My ankle was all sorts of messed up. It was fatter than a grapefruit Tuesday or Monday morning. So it was a very much a struggle for these past few days. And I was like, I could walk, but there is pain. And I was like, I'm just going to keep putting it off until I feel the need to get it checked out. And then today I was like, okay, it's changing colors a tad. Maybe it's time to let's check this bad boy out.
Were you intoxicated at the time that this injury occurred?
Never. I would never do that. Never. Under United States law, that is not till the age of 21, so I refuse to do that.
I'm going to say there's
a video of you with a beer at FanFest.
I don't think that's true. I think that's fake news.
Maybe.
I don't think that's true.
What's the weather looking like for the Dallas Dome?
So I guess they're actually going to have that little roof open. I don't know how much of a difference that even makes. Does that make much of a difference? Who knows? It's going to be hot, though, because it's Texas, and it's just always hot there. It's going to be 88 degrees on Sunday. Ew. Feels like 92. They're given the wind, but I don't think the wind would have much of a factor because this stadium has like is fully enclosed on like that weird stadium in L.A., which has like openings on the sides. Like, so why do you have a roof? That's neither here or there. Humidity 53%, so it's just going to be hot. It's frankly just going to be a hot game in Texas. Like, what's new? That's what you expect.
Yeah, it's hotter there than it is here. How about that? The one time on the weather report, it's actually hotter in the location than it is where I'm at.
Absolute crazy world we live in right now.
I post great beach pictures on my personal Instagram if you want to follow me on there, at @BobbySkinner_. Any trivia for us this week?
We do. I found this week's trivia to be rather interesting. So, I mean,
wow, new from this segment.
Wow, I'm offended by that one. So, going back, we're going all the way back to from the 1960s up until the 2010s. Up until the 2010s.
Great.
How many times had the Giants won the series in a decade? So, like, when did they, like, won, like the 1960s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s? How many times had they won the series decade?
So, that's 60 years. I'll say 19 times.
No, I mean, like, in terms of, like, how many times did they win, like, in, like from the 60s? Like, how many times, like, did
they
win the series?
I got it.
That 10 years, that's what I'm...
Oh, decades. Like, each decade? So out of six decades?
Yeah, each decade. Yeah, I might have misworded that.
The 2010s, they didn't.
I'm going to say twice.
The 2000s, they did. The 2010s, they didn't. So that's one. The 90s, I'm going to say they did. The 80s, I'm going to say, gosh, they were both so good in the 80s.
No, 90s, they didn't. 80s,
I'm going to say
90s,
80s, they did. I'm going to say three times.
Two. I'm saying two. And I'm very confident in my answer.
The correct answer is one.
Damn it!
They have only won
one. Is it just the 2000s?
No, it's the
80s. It was just the 2000s. They what? Wanted the 2000 series against the Cowboys.
Dallas was really bad in the 2000s. I mean, they had Quincy Carter as their QB, Drew Bledsoe. Like, you know, Romo came in at the end. And then even when Romo came in, like, we would beat them every single year. So
yeah, let's see. They won 13-8 that year. And then they actually tied in the 90s that year. They didn't play a game in 1982 because of... No, the 80s. They tied in the 80s, and they didn't play in 1982 because I guess they had that player strike. So the Giants just can't seem to get much wins against Dallas. It's pretty much just been Dallas's game. I think they've won, like, up until last year, they won, like, the past three series, and then we tied last year. So let's get off on the right foot. 2021.
New decade, baby. All right. Time for our fantasy draft, where we draft players from just the Giants. The Giants and the team they're playing. Good way to highlight some matchups. Stan, I will be picking first, Danny second, and Justin third, and that's the way the standings are going right now. I won last week with 51 points, only 3 more points than Danny. So I'm at 164 points, 12 points behind Danny at 176. And then Justin had a 30-point game. He's at 125. He has 51 points back. And I know from experience, like, 50 points is a big hole. Like, you gotta really ball out for the rest of the year to close that gap. But I'm going to close it on Danny. So I'm picking first. And I'm just, you know, kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. I am getting the guy who has had the most fantasy points for either of these teams this year. And I am going with Ezekiel Elliott. The Giants gave 170 yards on the ground last year. Zeke has yards plus touchdowns. Not really using the receiving game a ton. But, you know, he'll get a couple catches out of that. So I am going with the Cowboys RB1 Ezekiel Elliott for my first pick.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Zeke, even though we like clowning on the guy. You can't go wrong with picking Zeke. I'm also going to keep it plain and simple. Give me Saquon Barkley. He's looking more and more back to form. I think he's worthy of the first-round choice right now. I read here on ESPN, Cowboys have surrendered 4.7 yards per total to tailbacks this season. I know the Giants' run game is still kind of iffy, but if they get Saquon involved in that pass game, I think money moves will be made by Saquon. There's no overthinking it right now.
Saquon won me last week. I do think Saquon does have a big game. You know, I thought about taking him, but I'm just kind of being safe since I have the first pick. But, like, Saquon is this could be a really big game for Saquon. Like, if he gets 200 yards in this game, total rushing receiving, like, I wouldn't be surprised because of how much he gets. Because of how much yak they give up, because they don't play, they stunt a ton, which can ruin their gaps in the run game. This could honestly be an awesome game for Saquon Barkley. Justin, who was your first round pick?
This is tough. I feel like I'm in a good spot. I am going to go with Kenny Golladay. I feel like this is the game. I feel like this has got to be the game. He's had a good stretch. I'll talk about it a little bit more possibly later. I'm going to go with CeeDee Lamb on the come around. I think CeeDee Lamb is the best guy just ranked position-wise in terms of fantasy points that's left on the board right now. So CeeDee Lamb, I think that's pretty easy. I'm not even going to think about it.
Kenny Golladay was actually 8th on my big board this week because they are play a bunch of man coverage, but they will shade the safety over the top. So, like, I was watching the Panthers all 22, and it's like, Darnold, why are you going all or nothing? It was like, dude, check the ball down, like hit it on a crosser or something, where Darnold was just so focused on getting the big play. He was throwing in the double coverage a ton, and Daniel Jones just isn't going to do that, especially with the weapons he has right now. But I like the CeeDee Lamb pick. So you have Golladay and Lamb. Danny, who are you taking with your second pick?
I will be taking the Dallas Cowboys tight end. Which one, though? It's Dalton Schultz. That's the one I'm going to be rocking with this week. He's had 26 points against Philadelphia, then he had 17 points against Carolina last week. I read here the Giants defense has allowed nearly 17 points per game to tight ends, so I'm going to have to take Dalton Schultz, but if I was one of you, take Blake Jarwin, because clearly Blake Jarwin's now going to score the touchdown. That's just how this works right now when we take tight ends.
Schultz, I'm actually starting in my flex in my real fantasy team this week. I'm starting Dawson Knox at tight end, and then I'm starting Dalton Schultz at flex.
Oh, yeah, I got Dawson Knox on my team right now.
Yeah, I literally just picked up both of those guys because I had Gronk, and then I had Pat Freiermuth as a flyer, but, like, just no Steelers players are going to put up fantasy points this year. I think I might have even dropped Juju Smith-Schuster, who was, like, one of my higher picks, but it's like he's just not going to put up consistent points this year with Big Ben. Steelers fans are calling for Dwayne Haskins, which is so fine to me. And I'm calling for it, too. I really want to see Dwayne Haskins play football again. Schultz is a good pick, a little early. So there's someone that I would pick before this player, but I have the snake pick. So I'm going to go Kadarius Toney with my second pick.
Damn.
I'm going to explain it more with my giant factor.
Oh.
I set that up for you. I wanted to take him, but like I sensed that possibly that could be a later factor in the show, so I just saved you some time.
I may
now.
Have to change mine now. Mine now.
Oh, look at this. We are...
You got time to think, kid.
I don't want to do two the same position spot. That's lame.
Okay. So Tony was fifth on my big board, and I got him with my sixth pick. The guy who was third on my big board, I'm getting the third round, Amari Cooper. He's their wide receiver one. Like, he has had, you know, he's gotten touchdowns this year. He's been a big-time player. Bradbury hasn't been the same guy that shut guys down this year. You get Amari Cooper in the third round. I mean, come on. Now, granted, do I want James Bradbury to shut him down like he did last year? Yeah. Could it happen? Absolutely. Will I celebrate it? Absolutely. But, I mean, getting Amari Cooper, who's third. I mean, I got the first and third guy on my big board with the first overall pick. I mean, this is great value for me. You know, credit to me for the value I'm getting right now. And Tony, who I think is going to have a huge game this week. I really do.
I'm expecting big things from my guy, Kadarius Tony, this week. Let's see, because Shepard, we don't know what he's going to do. I'm leaning towards right now he's not going to play. That's just me, though. I just don't get the good vibes with him right now. I'm going to take the Cowboys right now, their slot wide receiver. I'm going to take Cedric Wilson. I'm going to take a flyer on him. I'm going to think maybe he could break something here because this Dallas offense, they're really not using. They're kind of like a short passing game right now from what I've seen. So I'm going to say give me Cedric Wilson to score a touchdown this week. I think Cedric Wilson will get one.
Don't give him hype to score a touchdown. We don't want
I'm
him
scoring a touchdown.
I'm not
trying to give him hype. I don't want him to score.
Well, you said, like, score a touchdown this week. Like, you're talking to
like, I mean, I feel like it's just going to happen. I feel like it's just going to happen. And I may want to, like, when it's a blowout, then score the touchdown so you give me fantasy points. Let's work. We're a competition here, people. We got to play it smart.
Justin, snake it, final two picks.
Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, he is on come the board. On. I mean, him falling this far. I get that he's coming off injury, but he was balling before he got hurt.
And I gotta do it. I gotta do it.
Do it.
Blake Jarwin is a giant killer.
Oh,
damn it.
Blake Jarwin is a giant killer. Backup tight end. Schultz has been getting more snaps, I think, than Jarwin.
Yes.
And that stat that the Giants have allowed a touchdown pass to every single backup tight end.
Four guy backup tight ends in four games is insane. It is insane that has happened.
And Blake Jarwin has the track record of killing the Giants, so give me Jarwin as my final pick.
Dude, if that happens again, it's just going to be like, why? Why? Why does this happen? Who is responsible? If that happens again, I'm gonna ask all the beat reporters and to bring that up to Patrick Graham or Joe Judge. But you guys have given up a touchdown to the backup tight end every year, every week this year. Who is responsible for that? It was Peppers in week 1 through 3. It wasn't Peppers. So get off Peppers' back, people. All right. So, Danny, your final pick.
This guy gave me – he surprised me last week. I just did it for fun. I'm going to take it again because why not? Because I don't want Evan Engram. Guys, terrible. Give me John Ross. Why not? Let's have some fun with it. Guy gave me a touchdown last week. Big week. I think he could do another one of those things. Like you said, Dallas is secondary beside Trayvon Diggs. That ain't nothing special. John Ross, do another little – let's do that again this week, John Ross. I want you to score a touchdown. A little more than Cedric Wilson, obviously. So, John Ross. Can I get a John Ross, please?
Let me get and John Ross. All right. So, this may be the first time in talking Giants fantasy draft history that Darius Slayton is not being picked.
It's a necessary evil. That's all we can say.
Because you're going to go with Tony Pollard.
I am. I'm going with Tony Pollard. I mean, he's averaging over 60 yards per game in the ground. He's getting catches per game. He's getting touchdowns. So, I mean, it's just an easy pick at this point. I was not going to touch all of the time. I mean, I always put down every player to just kind of have my rankings. So, Tony Pollard was ranked 1, 2, 3, 4, 9th on my big board. Slayton was 12th. And then Ingram, Rudolph, Devontae Booker, and then Caden Smith were the last four guys on my big board. I'm not touching any Giants tight ends. So, Evan Ingram and Darius Slayton don't get drafted this week. That's kind of odd, but I'm going Tony Pollard. So to recap, I have Ezekiel Elliott, Kadarius Tony, Amari Cooper, and Tony Pollard. Danny has Saquon Barkley, Dalton Schultz, Cedric Wilson, and John Ross. And Justin's Kenny Galladay, CeeDee Lamb, Sterling Shepard, and Blake Jarwin. I want to close the gap. I want to be first place.
Bobby,
so bad.
If you don't win this week, then I don't know what happened. Because that's an impressive lineup you have.
It'll
going
be
for you.
Blake Jarwin had, you know, three touchdowns. That's how it'll happen.
Be worth it.
I mean, we all kind of have Danny, you have the touchdown line. Actually, no. Actually, you know what? That was a dumb talking point I was looking for. All right. Giant factors. I get to go first this week. And I am going with the young Joker, Kadarius Toney. I'm falling in love with this guy, man. He is fun to watch. And now we are playing against a team that plays man coverage, that can be undisciplined at times. This should be a Toney game. Toney should get 100 yards in this game. I'm not even kidding. Rushing, I think he's going to get some opportunities with handoffs from the backfield. Receiving, like I think he's going to be using RPOs, downfield concepts. I really think this is going to be a big game for Kadarius Toney. The Giants want to use this guy. Like, you know, we can talk about, you know, coaching staff using guys. They drafted this guy 20th overall for a reason. They really did. So I am excited, man. I cannot wait to see what Kadarius Toney does this week. I really think he's going to go off. You know, Shepard is coming back from injury. Slayton coming back from injury. I think Kenny Golladay might not have the biggest game because of the way Dallas plays their coverage. I really think Tony's going to ball this game, man. I'm excited for it. So I'm going with Kadarius Toney with my giant factor. Daniel.
Solid pick, Kadarius Toney. I just love that he actually got used last week. That might have been the greatest thing about last week. This week,
he really looks good, too.
Oh, he looks... It's crazy that's a crazy concept that Kadarius Toney looks good. I couldn't see that coming. I don't think anyone saw that coming from a mile away. This week, I'm gonna be rocking with Adoree Jackson, the guy right next to James Bradbury. This is a week where the Cowboys offense is certainly interesting because they're like, when I watched a few of their games, I watched the Carolina game, it kind of felt like almost like the 2016 type of Giants offense. Like Dak Prescott's getting the ball out quicker than he has at any point in his career. At least I looked at the next gen stats. He's getting the ball out in 2.51 seconds. Giants pass rush can't do anything if they had like 10 seconds at this point to do anything. So I think CeeDee Lamb's going to factor big into this game, and Adoree Jackson needs to shut him down. I think James Bradbury could do his job against Amari Cooper because for some reason the Giants' first number one corners have been doing the work against Cooper, Jenkins, and Bradbury. So
Jenkins was really good against Amari Cooper.
He was, and he did the same thing against Des Bryant as well. And then so Adoree Jackson, back to you. You got to shut down CeeDee Lamb because that guy can run – that guy's insane. CeeDee Lamb's a great player. He can make life hell for this Giants defense on Sunday. Slow CeeDee Lamb down and just make Dak Prescott look elsewhere. Make him target James Bradbury and Amari Cooper. Make him go after the tight ends. Do something else. Just shut down CeeDee Lamb because he can make life hell for this Giants team. So, Adoree Jackson this week, you are my Giants factor.
Justin, who is your Giant factor?
Golladay and Jackson were my two go-tos. But I'm not going to double down on the same position skill group as Bobby Skinner. Kyle Rudolph, as of right now, I'm kind of in a desperate spot. Kyle Rudolph, as of like right now, is Dave Gettleman's second worst free agent signing ever because of the amount of money that he was paid. And yes, I know I hated the Golden Tate signing, but it's even worse than that. Nate Solder's the first worst. Kyle Rudolph, as of right now, is the second worst. If Kyle Rudolph was being paid $2 million to be a backup tight end, then great. You know, it's not that bad. You kind of live with it. But he's getting paid a lot of money. A lot of mucha mula to be a not good football player right now. This Dallas defense is not very good against tight ends. They have struggled with tight ends all year. There is no hope for Evan Engram. I have no expectation for Evan Engram. There's no hope for him. Kyle Rudolph, man, be something. Go be a giant factor. Even if you're not a giant factor, just try and be a factor. How about that?
Kyle Rudolph, and let's remember, Evan Engram missed two games. Has 6 catches for 57 yards.
And one of them came on, one catch came on 20 yards last week.
Yeah, and it was like a very like scheme play. And one was a screenplay. Good lord, you suck, Kyle Rudolph.
I can't even say Caden Smith because he gets like 8 reps a game. So
yeah, that's so frustrating. That's the more frustrating thing about the Kyle Rudolph signing. Like bad signings happen, but they're playing Kyle Rudolph over. Like, what does Caden Smith have to do to like get some damn respect around here? It really does bother me. Like, just trade him to the Broncos or something. Like
give him the Pat Shermer.
Seriously, like I let him be the tight end too, to Noah Fant. All right. Quick picks. I am 18-14. Went 4-4 last week. Justin is 15-17. Went 3-5 last week.
Bad.
Danny is 20-12. He's still in first place. Went 3-5. And the listeners are 15-17. They went 5-3 last week. The listeners are represented by James G, also known as Reptar on Ice. But I also want to give a special shout out to another listener, Westlock. You know, you're going through some stuff right now. Our man, you know, we're going to keep it at that. But he's in the Patreon chat right now. But just wanted to give him a shout out. He's been a loyal listener from day one. And we're here for you, dude.
Yes.
And I forgot to read the ad. I'm supposed to read the ad right there.
Ooh.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has a Week 5 offer every football fan should jump on. New customers can bet just $1 in any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943, so I'd say that's a no-brainer. So, again, I said it the other day, if you don't have a brain, you don't have an excuse. You have less excuses than brains, no-brainers. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings has given all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JohnBoy. Throw down $1 in any NFL game, win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code JohnBoy this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And we don't have Indiana anymore. And I miss you, Indiana. I really do. Can we just say it still?
Happened.
No, no. We'll say it in our hearts.
Damn.
Or say it really fast. Indiana 109 with it.
Hold on.
Oh, boy. Oh, here. We got to kill airtime right now.
No, I'm just going to let this be. He's going to live with the consequences of this.
Consequences? What would be the consequences?
Dead air, which is terrible radio.
You have reached the Indiana Problem Gambling Hotline.
So you can still call it.
This man actually had the number.
You can still call it, even though we're not legally required to read it. All right, quick picks. Thursday Night Football, really good game. We got Rams at Seahawks. Rams are 2.5-point favorites on the road. The listeners are going Rams -2.5. The Seahawks just always beat the Rams on Thursday Night Football. I don't know how, they just do it. And the Seahawks kind of like, they really need to win this game. And I think the Cardinals brought the Rams back down to earth a little bit. So I am going Seahawks +2.5. Justin, who you got in this one?
Rams -2.5.
Wow, what the hell, dude? You're supposed to be the Russell Wilson guy.
I am. I'm kind of. I got to switch it up. I got to switch something up. It's not working for me right now. I'm less in fantasy. I'm less in the quick picks.
Sunglass Danny, what do you got?
I didn't see the board clearly last week. We are back this week, baby. Rams +2.5. No, Rams -2.5. They get it done. I'm a big Rams guy. I'm a big Cooper Kupp guy. That's mainly why I'm picking this team. Sunglass Bobby, what's the next game?
Oh, wow, it showed up. I know we're doing speaker view. We got Packers at Bengals. Bengals are +3 at home. Listeners went Bengals +3. I think I'm going like opposite of the listeners on the majority of picks today. But Danny, who do you got in this one? Packers are 3-point favorites on the road versus the Bengals, which like that doesn't sound right, but the Bengals are 3-1 right now.
Yeah, the Bengals are actually not, they're playing good, but come on. It's Aaron Rodgers and the Packers this week. No way. They're going to blow the Bengals out of the water. I'm sorry. It's going to happen.
Okay. What about you? What do you think, Justin?
My love for Russell Wilson is I went opposite. And my dismissal for Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to go opposite. Give me Packers -3.
Yeah, it's just I expect the Packers and Aaron Rodgers to beat the Bengals by 3 points. I don't care where it is. Justin, do you have sunglasses so you can look like a douche like us on video?
You can see the board more. You can see the board more clearly when.
Yeah,
you have sunglasses.
Wear sunglasses in the house. Come on, dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna need that. I can go and get them. I'll be right back.
Saints at Washington. Washington is +2, so Saints are favored on the road. I'm going Saints as well. The Washington looks. They have the second worst defense in football. They don't get any turnovers. Chase Young has 0 sacks. This defense collapsed, bro. They read their newspaper clippings way too much this offseason. And Chase Young is. Maybe the most overrated player in the league right now is Chase Young. So I'm going Saints -2. Danny, who do you have?
See, this is the week where I feel like Washington could get it done and, like, right their wrongs. But the Saints were still so good last week, and, like, the Washington barely beat the Giants. So I'm going to take the Saints. What was it? Minus two. Minus two? Give me the Saints minus two.
Listeners went Saints minus two as well. What do you got, Justin? What do you got, sunglass douche, Justin?
These are prescription sunglasses, by the way.
I'll say.
Of course they are, you old man.
Oh, crap.
Give me Washington plus two.
All right, we got Bears at Raiders. Now, everyone remembers the Bears were my, like, they were my love child last year in the quick picks. Like, I basically picked them every single week. But at the Raiders, Khalil Mack, second game versus the Raiders since he left. Raiders are 5.5-point favorites at home. Justin Fields is like, he's just the starter now, not because of injury, but he is the starter now. I'm going Bears plus 5.5. The Bears are 2-2. But 5.5 points is a lot right now. The Raiders are 3-1, but I feel like the Raiders are just like they're going to crash to the ground. So I am going Bears plus 5.5. Justin, what about you?
I think the Bears offense is just so bad right now. So I am going to go Raiders minus 5.5.
Daniel,
I'm in agreement with Justin. I just don't see with Matt Nagy. I mean, he's not calling plays, but like they just can't do anything right now. So I think the Raiders will take advantage of Justin Fields this week. Give me the Raiders.
Two-game winning streak. Actually, no, they lost to the Browns. Listeners are going Raiders as well. The LeBron James Bowl. The Cleveland Browns at the L.A. Chargers, even though he's a Cowboys fan. Chargers are favored by 2 at home. And I'm going with the Chargers. The Chargers, I think, are a better team than the Browns. I think the Chargers are just a good team, so I'm going Chargers minus 2. Danny.
I love me some Justin Herbert, but I don't know. I feel like the Browns can keep it close this week. Give me Cleveland Browns plus 2.
Listeners also went Chargers. Justin, who do you have?
I am going to go with Browns plus 2. Their defense has kind of picked it up from, you know, the first two games of the season. Justin Herbert is still having a little bit of trouble on early downs, but he's been so elite on third downs. I think that Browns defense is going to get to him a little bit, so it's going to be Browns plus 2.
Rashawn Slater versus Myles Garrett. That might be a fun video I do next week. We got 49ers at Cardinals. Cardinals are 5.5-point favorites at home. The only undefeated team left in the NFL. Kyler Murray is playing like an MVP right now. But he also played at the MVP like start of last year and he kind of fell off a little bit. Justin, who do you have in this one?
Yeah, this seems like one of those absurd lines. You get an absurd line every week, but I'm not one to tell you because I'm not a gambling expert.
Yes, 49ers. You are. You have sunglasses on inside. You are now a gambling
expert. You are legally required. You are now a gambling
expert. You're a douchebag, but you're a gambling expert.
Do you
expert.
Know who I... We have to take these sunglasses off. I feel like somebody that we don't like right now.
Exactly. We're being douchebags.
Oh, my Lord.
No. Danny, why did
you guys
start
didn't get...
This?
That was the whole reason I've been doing it.
No, I was just following Danny's lead because I'm a follower.
I just thought I was a gambling expert.
49ers plus 5.5.
I thought like the whole point of this was to look like douchebags. Danny. Douchebag Danny, what do you have? I've said douchebag more times than I think I've ever said in this show combined.
I think Dave Gellman might be the greatest GM in the NFL. Given the Arizona Cardinals, because they're just so good. The 49ers are just not, they just can't keep up with Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I'm not a 49ers fan. I'm going Cards as well, and then the listeners are going 49ers. Bills at Chiefs, minus 2.5. This is probably game of the week, right? Game of the week. It sucks we play at 4:30 this week, because we're missing some good games. Listeners are going Chiefs. Danny, who do you have?
I mean, like, that's Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce. Those are all great players when you think about it. But when you think about it in reality, Gerrit Cole led Yankee fans down on Tuesday. I had to slip that in somewhere because I'm just a terrible human. But when I think about who has never let me down in times that I need them, because just nobody, and I mean nobody, circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. It's crazy to me. Give me the Bills plus 2.5.
Justin, what about you?
Chiefs minus 2.5.
Bills, Chiefs are beatable right now. I'm going Bills. I feel good about this pick, too. I'm going Bills plus 2.5. And then the last game of the week, Monday Night Football, Colts at Ravens. Ravens 7-point favorites. I'm out on the Colts. I think Carson Wentz is just a bad quarterback. And I like the Ravens, so I'm going Ravens minus 7. Colts, listeners went Colts plus 7. Justin?
Ravens minus 7. Good win against Broncos last week.
Yeah, Ravens minus 7.
Teddy Bridgewater out for the Broncos is kind of big because Drew Lock is pretty damn bad. All right, take your sunglasses off. It's time to get real. Stop being losers.
I mean, I now can't see anymore.
Again, old man. Danny, what is your score prediction for Giants Cowboys?
I said some things last week about the Giants, and they went out there and they won a good game. That was great for them. However, the same thing happened with Shermer when they went 0-3 and then they won that game before going 0-4. I need to see it to believe it. The Dallas Cowboys are a great football team right now. I need to see the Giants beat the Cowboys for me to believe that they can get it done and we're not just sitting ducks up until, like, whatever, the schedule gets easier. The Cowboys are going to win, unfortunately. That's what I think is going to happen. They're going to win by 5. It's going to be close, though. I think it could realistically be the Cowboys score 30, the Giants score 29. I realistically see that. I could see that as, like, the Washington game. So Cowboys, unfortunately, win. But prove me wrong, Giants, bring me back into this season.
Justin.
Cowboys 33, Giants 24. We're cursed. We can never score over 30 points offensively under Jason Garrett. Prove me wrong, like Danny said. Like, this is the week, the kind of before Bobby gives his hype-up speech. This is the freaking week. If you want fans to get fully back into this football team, it'll be 2 games in a row where you're on the road. You come back home against the Panthers, get fans back in the seats, get them excited for the season, because if you lose this game, then you're kind of right back into the same
role. Rams next week.
The Rams next week? Excuse me. That whole thing is now ruined.
Oh, the Super Bowl celebration.
I thought it was the Panthers that came first, so.
Which I think I'm going to try and get Tollefson to boo John Mara during the Super Bowl celebration.
Yeah, good luck doing that. So even coming back home for that Rams game is even more important. Do you want to have a crowd that is going to boo the owner? Again, if the Giants lose this game in Dallas, they probably have to think about whether they even want to trot John Mara out there, even if that was a plan in the first place. Do you want the fans to be booing and pissed off the day that you're celebrating a 10-year Super Bowl anniversary? Or do you want them excited and back in again? Get me back in, win this game, but prove me wrong. 33-24, Cowboys win, but prove me freaking wrong.
I'll be honest, someone gave me credit for predicting a win last week. Like, give Bobby Skinner credit. He predicted the Giants would win, which I thought was funny. It's like, that was probably your first preview show, huh?
Yeah, they must be new around here.
It's like, I literally took an oath to predict the Giants win every week ever. Justin kind of stole my thunder a little bit, man.
Sorry.
You could pull us back in at 2-3. I know it's 2-3 and it's still not what we wanted, but you could pull us back in. You'd be one game back in the division and, you know, Dallas can fall apart. It's wouldn't be the first time it's happened. Man, we got to score in this game. Score. Daniel Jones, lead us. Be that guy, Daniel Jones. You're going to have to rise above this game every single week. Patrick Graham, man. If Patrick Graham could pull out... If Patrick Graham kept this Cowboys team under 20, I don't want anyone ever to say a bad word about him ever again. So the Giants are going to win 77-0. I'm not even giving a pump-up speech. Just freaking win. Giants 77, Cowboys 0. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you on Monday. Hopefully celebrating a victory. We'll see you then. We appreciate you. Until then, let's go Big Blue.